The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
This is the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Good morning, I'm Jackie Ruddy, and with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you today?
Fantastic. How are you?
Good.
We have with us, for the second week in a row, Bob Warner, heating and cooling specialist. How are you?
Good, Jack. How are you doing? Let's talk about air conditioning.
We're going to talk about air conditioning today. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where we discuss everything real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with approximately 19, almost 20 realtors. We have been listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have, or if you'd like to suggest a topic that we haven't covered, send it to questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com, or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click the Dunmore Corners live webcam tab and see what's going on at Dunmore Corners.
We're always looking for interesting new inviting topics to discuss here. So if you have a business and it has a product or a line that's, you know,
Related to real estate.
Don't be shy. Give us a call, email us, and we'll look into it. Check us out on YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. View our listings or search the MLS listings or listen to archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, which is also mobile friendly. Bob Warner, heating and cooling specialist. This is a business that your father started, and you've been around, the Warners have been around for 40 years?
Yeah, he started in, I think, 1962.
Wow.
And you took over.
Yep, yes.
And now your sons are in the business, too, now.
Yeah, all my sons are starting, yeah.
Very good.
Family. Keeping it going.
Always going to need plumbers and electricians, no matter how the economy is. Always. Yep.
So last week we were talking about cooling, air conditioning, and this is the time of year that we talk about these things. And cleaning our systems is a really big key in maintaining them and the efficiency, and then, of course, the life of these systems.
Yeah, so, if you want it to last and perform right, you should have it serviced.
And change that air filter.
Change the air filter, get the unit cleaned, the indoor coil, the outdoor unit.
And
once a year is cleaning service.
And change the air filter once a month during the cooling system season?
30-day filters, that's what you want to do. Take them out, throw them away. Unless you're super clean in your house and you pull your filter out and it still looks nice, throw it back in.
Save yourself a few dollars. Now that it's the cooling season, were you going to ask? Now that it's the cooling season, what should I do about my heat? Just turn it off and forget about it and then call you October 1st, when I turn it on.
Yeah, let's call at October 1st and say, I'd really like to get my boiler cleaned before I turn it on. you and the other 5,000 people are on there, right? How about all summer long you have to clean your boiler, Pat?
I'm not thinking about it.
Yeah, let's make an appointment during the summertime.
Why would I do that?
Before you turn it on is summertime too, right?
No, I got to call you 11 o'clock on a Saturday night when I turn it on and
they
stop
think
working.
It's absolutely necessary that you have to have it cleaned before you turn it on. As long as you're getting it cleaned once a year, it don't matter what time of year you're having it cleaned. Because anything that's going to be wrong or going wrong, you're going to catch it in a year's time and make sure that it's going to be working good for you. So long as you're getting it cleaned once a year, you're in good shape.
Yeah, you come and look at our equipment and make sure everything's good.
It don't have to be right before you turn it on. Anytime, once a year.
Doesn't have to be October 1st.
It don't need to be, the day before you turn it on or a week before you turn it on.
Sometimes I see heating units that are outside the home. Why are they outside the home? I'm accustomed normally to see them inside the home, a furnace or a boiler in the basement, usually.
Yeah.
Right? Why would someone put a unit on the outside of their home to heat the home?
Well, when they say that the unit's outside, it's probably a heat pump unit, Jack, where they're using electric backup to heat their house. That's why you're not seeing the appliance inside. Their air handler's still inside if they're hot air heat. And they have probably followed up by heat strips inside of it. So once the, you know, if it's too cold out, and then you're not going to get the heat out of the heat pump anymore, it's going to click onto that electric strip heater, backup heat inside your air handler, which is just electric heat. Instead of seeing baseboard on the wall, you're blowing it out of your ductwork.
Are these systems efficient?
Well, the heat pump is efficient down to a certain temperature, but now once you go onto that electric backup inside of it, that's not too efficient. No, that's electric heat. You're just sucking up electricity.
How did you describe it in between?
It'll make your meter spin pretty good.
Make it spin like a top.
Yeah, it'll make it spin like a top.
So you're paying half the electric bills.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. So are they more cost effective on the install? Is that why people choose them?
Yeah, it's a cheaper way to give you heat in the house when you're building the house for the, say, the builder to give you heat in a cheap way.
Cut costs.
Right. Yeah, so instead of putting a boiler and baseboard in and save those thousands of dollars, you just put some heat strips in there and...
And here you go.
And here you go. You save money on the front end, but you're paying forever.
Paying it on the monthly bill.
Why do heat pumps freeze up?
Well, the heat pump, you know, if you get any kind of freezing up on your heating and your air conditioning side like that, it's usually you're a little low on gas. And you could have other troubles too. Like if you have a blocked air filter and you're not getting good airflow over your coil, they could freeze it up. There could be many, numerous things. You could have a duct off somewhere, sucking heat in out of your rat. You could have any number of things that'll make it do that. But if you have ice building up on your unit, you better call your guy up and have him come check.
And the way you described,
not right.
The way you described the heat pump last week, the way it works is it's an air conditioner that actually just works in reverse. Right. So it's blowing the hot air inside and the cold air outside.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You're reversing the flow of your Freon.
Okay.
So when you have central air, is there anything that you need to think about when you have ductwork? Should you be getting a clean service periodically, looking? How do you maintain it?
When you're getting it serviced once a year, whoever's doing it, like I always look inside. Is there anything in there growing or any buildup of dirt? Most air conditioning setups are either in an attic or a basement and they're only air conditioning, or they have air conditioning and heat. And if your filter is getting changed like it's supposed to, and you got a filter in there and it's a newer system, you're not going to get anything in the ductwork. But the older homes now where they had hot air heat in them for 80 years, they have old metal ductwork, and if they had pets and a ton of kids and the vents are coming through floors, there could be a lot of debris in them. It wouldn't hurt to have them cleaned by a duct cleaning company once in a while, or at least checked to see if there's anything in them.
When you walk around the exterior of a home and there's a compressor and it's leaning, what does that mean?
Well, when they built the house, if it's a newer home and it was backfilled and they were in a hurry to get everything up and running, it probably wasn't tamped in good along the side of the house. And
shouldn't be leaning, should it?
Well, no, they had a little settlement going on there because of not compacting the soil around the house. So it's not a visually, pleasing thing to see the air conditioning unit leaning like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. If you could straighten it out and throw some gravel under it, and because you have a lot of stress on your refrigeration lines, you could cause leaks in the outdoor unit and snap a line off.
So the way you do it is you come down and you put a concrete pad in.
Yeah, if you go with a concrete pad and you stay away from the house a little bit to where it was filled in nice, where the over, because when they overdig usually a couple feet around the house.
Okay.
The ones you see leaning are the ones really usually tight right by the house, or they have rain gutters and it's...
Oh, the water washing out underneath it.
Underneath it, causing them to lean.
Yeah, so you want to keep them as straight as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the meaning of things. Ton, sear. Can you explain what these mean?
Well, tonnage is 12,000 BTUs per ton. So when you're sizing an appliance and you're talking about BTUs of it, how many BTUs is it? If it's 12,000 BTUs of cooling, that's one ton. Then it just goes up every, you could get a ton and a half, 2 ton, up to, a residential goes up to 5 ton. And the sear rating on the other end, the higher the sear rating, the more efficient it is when it's running.
And the more expensive it is.
With your SEER rating goes the price of the appliance. So it is going to cost you more money to buy, but it's more energy efficient while
it's
running.
So you save in utility bills.
Yeah, you're going to pay more for the installation because you had to buy a better unit. But on the long run, you're going to save it on the power that you're using.
Electricity's not going down.
Ain't going down. You know. And it is usually a little bit better made appliance too. The higher the SEER rating, they are made better.
You're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Today we have Bob Warner, heating and cooling specialist, and we're touching on both topics. We're headed towards a break. Before we do so, Pat, would you review a listing, please?
Yes, we have a well-maintained three-bedroom home at 401 Chestnut Street in Dunmore for only $119,000. This affordable home has a low-maintenance exterior with off-street parking. It has a large kitchen with a tile floor. It has vinyl siding, replacement windows, and the gas furnace. Bob, the gas furnace is less than 5 years old. So
Sounds good to me.
Yeah,
sounds good.
It also has low taxes of only $1,650 a year, and it's close to everything. That's a well-maintained three-bedroom home in Dunmore at 401 Chestnut Street for only $119,000, and that's listed by Nick Lawler of our office.
Thank you, Pat. I have found a really fun and exciting article I can't wait to talk about. Talks about which words appear most frequently in listings, and that they did it all across
large,
the country.
Low price.
Minnesota lists in-floor heating. Those are the most used words in their ads to draw buyers. Pennsylvanians like their carpeting and central air. What are we talking about, Bob?
We've been
talking
about cooling
this week and last week. So what our ads mostly say is wall-to-wall carpeting. New Jersey likes to brag about a New York City view. And if you're looking for a rock fireplace, Montana might be your spot. I'm not going to go through all 50 states, but in Florida, for instance, the most used words in ads are hurricane shutter. In Delaware, leaf removal.
You got a lot of trees
all
in
right,
Delaware.
Okay. Connecticut, stone wall. We see that a lot in our Waverly listings. They talk about stone walls. California, access freeway is most commonly used in their ads. Alabama, screen deck. New York. What do you think those most used words in New York are?
Bulletproof.
No. Water view? I don't know.
Live in super.
Oh, the superintendent lives in the building.
Yeah, because
in case the pipe breaks, you got to know that he's in the building.
A fascinating and fun article. Zillow is the one that published the report, and it lists all 50 states and what the most commonly used words in their real estate listings were.
Thank God I don't have a live in super anymore.
Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM. The Talker will be right back. I'd like a live-in nanny.
Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate asks, what does your dream sound like?
Oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
We can take that wall out, extend this room.
No, honey. We're not knocking any walls down.
Mommy, can we turn this into a basketball court?
No, sweetie. It's a dining room. We're going to put a table in here and eat our meals.
My bedroom is huge.
Oh, you already have your bedroom picked out, huh?
This place is great.
I love it.
Whether you're searching for your family's new home or selling and moving on to the next exciting chapter in your life's journey, the award-winning professionals at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate are here to help you realize your dream. Get in touch at jruddy.com. That's jruddy.com. Each Century 21 office is independently owned and operated.
We're back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Yes, we're back, and we got Bob. Who do we have?
Bob Warner, heating and cooling specialist. And we've been talking about cooling these today and last week. We threw a little bit of heating in there, what to do with our furnaces and boilers in the off season. And you feel it's a good time as any to clean it, not when we're ready to turn it on, right?
Yep. Any time of year is good, Pat or Jackie.
Pat, Jackie.
Yeah. It all don't right. have to be right before you turn it on.
It's probably best right in the middle of the summer when there's plenty of time left. In case there's something wrong, you can fix
time.
It.
You have time to fix it, yeah.
Everything's not rush, rush, rush.
Well, I found out something that I never knew this past year. Home inspectors, during the winter months, do not run, turn on, or test air conditioning units in homes. System shut down, it's off, not to be ever turned on again until a warm, hot summer day. But I learned this past year, that I didn't know before, was that air conditioning can, in fact, be run in the bitter cold. Because in our office building, where someone rents space, they have a lot of computers, throw a lot of hot air, and they run their air conditioning all year round. And that's okay, right?
It's okay if it's designed for that. In a situation like that, they have a kit you have to put on the unit. It's called the low ambient air kit that allows it to cycle the outdoor unit's fan off and on so that it could run properly during low outside temperatures.
But it can be done.
It could be done, yeah.
I had no idea. Did you?
Yeah, your average household unit is not meant to be run in the wintertime like that. Not continuously, anyway.
Or to be even tested. The home inspectors won't even touch the system.
It's a hard thing to test.
Why? How could you?
How do you know if it's blowing cold there?
You could turn up the heat all the way, but you wouldn't do that.
But you could visually check it still. Look for signs of, old age, rotten, or leakage. If you see any oils or refrigerants where they looked like they were escaping, you could kind of check the general condition of it. Without running it.
Right.
I mean, the only true way of testing the operation of it is actually running it.
It's funny that you'd say they don't do that because in the summertime, they'll crank that heat up to 90 degrees to make sure that all the radiators are getting hot. But in the middle of the winter,
On a walkthrough inspection, the buyer wants to make sure, like on the final walkthrough,
the boiler works.
And it's 90 degrees out and we're turning on the heat to make sure all the radiators get hot.
Yeah, because it will get hot and it'll work and everything in the summertime where air conditioning's a little different.
Air conditioning's different. Yeah, I was always...
If it's not designed to run in the wintertime.
So you have to do a special add-on to the system. Add-on. But I thought all air conditioning, I didn't think it was possible.
Yeah. Yeah, with the right kit.
With the right kit. And the right contractor.
Well, that helps.
You had to come in, you had to put additional ductwork in, like you say, because it's a server.
Because of them running it all year round in the wintertime, when you don't think of air conditioning going to be running when it's 10 degrees outside.
No, you don't.
And these guys are running it. When it's 10 degrees out.
Right. They never turn the heat on. They have this
They don't
big,
need the heat on. They need it cooling. Cool.
They've got this big server and they're generating all this heat 24/7.
So it's using AC in the winter.
Yeah.
Well, you see, you learn something new every day. And that's so, last week we talked about how size matters, efficiency matters. Sometimes a lot of people, when they're looking to install new units, upgrade, repair, they're thinking about costs. Let's talk about why low cost shouldn't matter. I would think contractors' ability and experience should have a lot to do with the decision.
It all depends on the kind of customer you're going to. A lot of people are just bottom line. They want cheap.
Lowest
they
cost.
They don't care what you're giving them as far as the quality of the equipment, how long it's warrantied for, how it's built and an energy consumption of it. They just want to hear, you could give me air conditioning or you could give me heating for X amount of dollars. You got to compare apples and apples. Where some people just, the bottom line is how much is it going to cost? And you could pay now or pay later. You could save money now putting it in because you did cheap, but now your power bill is going to be suffering because of it. And that's for a long time afterwards. You're going to be stuck with cheap and you're going to pay.
What's the average, we were talking about the ductless, what's the average warranty period for a ductless air conditioner, something like that?
Well,
depends on manufacturer.
Yeah, manufacturers are 5, 6, 8 years, 10 years.
Really?
Yeah, there's extended warranties like you could fill out with companies and manufacturers when you purchase them. Otherwise, they're all pretty much the same. 5 years, 6 years.
5 years.
Some of them are 8 years. They'll offer an extra few years with the manufacturer's warranty.
Long time.
Or there's companies out there that'll warranty to like an insurance.
Oh, you'd have to pay like an additional, okay, like an extended warranty.
Extended warranties that you could buy.
I'm sure you have a lot of satisfied customers. The Warners have been around for 40 years, providing heating and cooling to a lot of residences. And you do commercial businesses as well. You do structures that are commercial as well as residential.
Well, we try to keep everybody happy.
Okay.
Service what we install and take care of the people.
So, you know, I would think that very important part of a decision is to choose the right contractor. But when things go and it's really hot or it's really cold, people are pressed. They're frantic. They need to make quick decisions. That could also be a mistake, getting the first guy available.
Yeah, they'll be thinking about things for a long time and they decide, oh, we have to have it now when it's 85 degrees out. So they're in a big hurry now, you know? When can you do it?
So what should they be looking for in their heating cooling specialist? What are the characteristics?
Maybe it wouldn't hurt to ask how long they were in business, how'd they learn how to do it? Are they going to come back and fix it when it breaks? Are they capable of servicing it and fixing it when it breaks? A lot of guys will install stuff and then you never see them again. I get calls all the time for stuff like that. Well, I knew a guy that did this on the side, or a friend of a friend recommended me, but he said he don't fix them. He'll put them in, but he don't fix them. So now they have a unit that's 2-3 years old, and it should be something that's under warranty, and they should be taking care of it. And now they have no one to fall back on. So they're calling somebody different now to come fix it when it ain't working.
And you're trying to figure out a system that you didn't
install. Yeah.
Okay. And then you got to backtrack your license. You're insured?
Yeah. Are they insured? Are they licensed in the town they're in?
Well, you had to do some warranty work on one of our units, the one at my house, and you were there. You looked at it. You were familiar with it, and you banged it right out.
Yeah. And it didn't cost you anything because I put it in.
Right. And you knew, and you didn't have to figure out somebody else's mistakes.
Yeah.
All contractors are pretty much the same. Is that a misconception?
Well, I would think so. Yeah.
The company that offers the lowest price is the company that should be hired.
He's laughing. What are you laughing at? You get what you pay for.
Yeah, ain't that the same old story? You only get what you pay for. It's like those shoes that you like, Jackie. You don't pick out the $10 pair when you're going to shop for them. You want the $100 pair, right?
Yeah, the $200 pair.
$200 pair? Yeah, if you got five prices and they're all around $5,000. And now you got a guy that's $3,500. Well, shouldn't that tell you something? Like, why is this guy so cheap?
So drastically lower than the others.
How is it going to be comparable?
Like your dad, when he would have systems installed, he would always question, what is the brand of boiler that you're going to use, right? That was big with him. He always had a certain, I don't know, he liked Peerless or something like that. I don't remember which brand he liked, but he was always big into that, Jack. He wanted to know exactly.
Well, a lot of people, they like a brand that's sold locally here in town or Pennsylvania. Some people are just brand specific. They like that brand. You like Fords. I like Chevys.
I do.
They all do the same job.
It's right.
Some people
have a preference.
And are you using a brand that's like some cheap off name that nobody heard of? Are you going to be able to get parts for it down the road? How long were they in business, this company that's making the product? That's something you should ask. You know, like, how old is this company that's making this air conditioner? How long are they around?
Yeah, when I look at a unit and I see Fujitsu or Luxair or Trane or something, it's all names that I know.
You know, they're a name brand unit. They're
parts are available
a long time.
Right?
Yeah. And is it bought locally or did you buy it off the internet from California that come from a slow boat from China?
So
you need a part, get on the internet and email it to China.
Really? And wait a month.
Yeah. Wait a month for a part. It's nice to be able to go to where you bought it and they have the parts.
So many times when air conditioning or heating, the heat pump isn't operating or performing in certain rooms or they're too cold or too hot, it's sometimes not the equipment. It could be the duct work, right?
Yeah, you could have a duct that come apart or where it was taped and zip tied on to the main trunk could have blew off, or a damper could have closed on the main. These are things that you could visually check yourself. If all of a sudden you have no air conditioning coming out your one duct, you know, if it's in the basement or the attic, go and check and see if it.
So check for leaks.
Yeah, check for leaks. You'll feel it. Turn it on and go and see.
And a damper is really just a big valve, right?
It's all it is. It's just a flapper in there that closes the air off. Sometimes they rattle loose and they close.
You don't have to be a licensed.
No, you could to figure that out. Yeah.
While we are looking to wrap up the show here, the last question I have for you is:
what is the biggest mistake you see people do? People make when they're choosing an air conditioning system or an installer.
They go to low bidder sometimes, and instead of getting the unit that they should have, they skimp on the size a little bit, and then they're wondering why it's running and running and running, and they're calling, well, geez, I can't get my house below 75 degrees when it's 90 out. Well, it's because your unit's undersized.
Or they're paying huge electrical.
Yeah, and then in turn, their electric bill is skyrocketing because it's never shutting off, and that's like the most common thing I see anymore. These guys are putting one in that's right on the border of the size that they need, and they just run and run constantly, never shutting off.
So the moral of the story is?
You only get size, what you pay for, and Jackie, you know, size
matters.
Size always matters.
That's
all
right,
the time.
Especially in air conditioning.
Thank you, Bob Warner, heating and cooling specialist. We thank you for your time last week and this week. Thanks for being part of the Real Estate Roundtable. Pat, would you please take us out with the listing?
Yes, we have a Lodge Double at 731-733 New Hyde Park Avenue in Scranton for only $69,000. This double has 2 3-bedroom apartments with separate utilities. The 731 side has a new forced hot air furnace, and the third floor on both units could be finished for additional living space. There are some hardwood floors, and it has a large yard. This would be perfect for the investor, or live in one side and have the rent pay the mortgage. That's a Lodge Double home at 731-733 North Hyde Park Avenue in Scranton for only $69,000, and that's listed by Stephanie Silvestri of our office.
And I noticed it had a new hot air furnace.
Yes,
too.
I knew you'd pick up on that.
I picked right up on that, Pat.
Thank you, guys. This is for you, Pat.
Oh,
this
great.
Is just
I can't
for
wait
you.
To hear this.
You're going to be amazed. You're going to really like this. Oh. No cars. Brooklyn real estate is now so ridiculous.
I know.
That an asking price for a doghouse is $500,000. Listen to this article. And it starts off by "A Bubble Grows in Brooklyn." Isn't there a book, "A Tree Grows in Brooklyn"?
Yes, there is. That's right.
They're talking about "A Bubble Grows in Brooklyn." The Brooklyn housing market is so hot, a slick real estate agent is asking $500,000 for a glorified tool shed in Gravesend. Do you know where that is?
Yeah, that's not even near the slope. Yeah, I know where it is.
The faded yellow one-bedroom home at 86 Bay 47th Street is a measly 12 by 26 feet. That's approximately 300 square feet. And is built with aluminum siding like some backyard sheds. But the, shall we say, cozy and rustic abode is perfectly legal and features a small bathroom, gas heat, and hot water, according to the real estate agent's posted listing information. He says it's better than a condo, only asking $499,000. That's what he put on Trulia.
Really?
It's a legal single-family home. It's a teeny tiny house, the smallest one he ever sold. There's also a partially finished basement. It used to be a flop house for pets, mostly pit bulls, so it kind of needs some work. And the lot is 20 by 97. It sits a couple blocks from Coney Island Creek.
Nice. That's nice during flood time.
Mm-hmm. And it was built in the 1920s, and it has at least one window. It also comes with a driveway. And this is where I think the price comes in. It also comes with a driveway that can fit 6 cars. That's huge in Brooklyn, isn't it?
Yeah, that's huge. The house I grew up in Brooklyn at 1658 10th Avenue sold last year for $1.7 million. The house I grew up in. I didn't know I lived in a mansion. I thought it was 2 one-bedroom apartments.
A lot different. The real estate just a couple hours down, away.
And then drive around a half hour looking for a parking spot. So those 6 parking spots are big.
Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.